And
do you go into the restaurants and organize?
Yes.
So you have to, like, talk to people?
Oh, yes, yes. And then once you would get somebody, one or two, it was surprising how many of the workers were. We're open for the...
Why was that? Do you think that was the general conditions of the...
Yes, I think so. I mean, I'm sure that they were subject to the same conditions that I was. I came to it through my experiences and so on. And the war years, during the war years, a lot of benefits were granted, or what is the word? That isn't exactly the word I want, but concessions to the workers and so on, when they needed the workers badly. Well, it was nice to keep those and to improve them. And
so would that affect even a sector like the restaurants, which were not under the, like, war legislation in the sense of essential industry?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That affected everybody at that time, one to one degree or another. And there were still those who were willing to go along with the employers for one reason or another. Yes, that was my second husband's name. And I was known mostly as May Lenny, because Lenicek was dead, and people would always have to ask how to spell it, etc., etc. He had worked during the war in the shipyards, and some of the boys there, I guess, had sort of shortened his name to Lenny, so that's how I finally became known as Bay Lenny.
So were you, during this period when you were active in the union, were you remarried for the second time?
Yes, yes. Okay. Yes, I was, I was already business agent in the union, I was already business agent in the union, because it was after I came back down from the Yukon that I met Phil, he was a beautiful dancer, and we used to go to these old dance halls, and I remember a lot of the old country type of players and singers and so on. A lot of them used to come to Vancouver. And so we were married during that period. I carried on.
How did, I guess, your first husband and then your second husband react to your trade union activity? Were they supportive of it?
Well, my first husband, we were separated before I went to the Yukon. And I was completely on my own then, and I was a member Phil was a member of the Boilermakers Union, and so he was labor conscious, and but he was from a prairie black background, and he wasn't dedicated like I was, for instance. But he understood it and went along with it.
Did that create any kinds of conflicts in your life
underneath, you know. I think probably it did, and probably had something to do with the fact that we finally separated. I'm sure it was. I don't think it was a. You know, there were many other things entered into it too. But
when you were an organizer, what kind of skills were needed to be able to go out there and organize people?
Oh, just, I guess, an understanding and the ability to talk and the fortitude. I was going to use more expressive word, but the fortitude to go out there at all hours, and in other words, to do what you believed.
Was it difficult having to organize at night?
At times, it had its. Although I don't, you know, I wasn't up every night by any means, and what we would do. Now I wasn't the only. Remember, I speak. There was this chap we had helping us to organize. Sometimes we went together, and sometimes he went places where it was difficult for me to get to the workers. We worked together, but on the whole, he worked more in the hotels. It was more difficult to get into the workers in the hotels, for one thing, and I worked more with the people at the restaurants.
Were you mostly working with women?
Mostly, but there were quite a number of men. But it the union was predominantly women, because it was, you see, you had mostly the waiters and waitresses, and some busboys.
When I talked to Jim Morrison, one of the things that he said was that in the 1950s, the union abandoned. This is what he inferred. Abandoned the restaurants for the hotels, because the hotels were a bigger dues base.
In the 50s.
Yeah, in the later period.
Well, now that would be after my time.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that could well be.
Yeah. And
I know. Yes, I believe that did happen, because I know. I was aware while I was away from out of the union. I went into office work for a number of years before I married and came over to the North Shore, and it's just 25. That's just 25 years ago, and but I was aware that the work we had done wasn't followed up at that particular time, and that a lot of it was lost, and they didn't. They didn't go out to organize like we did.
Did you people have
They lost ground.
How did you understand organizing restaurant workers? Did you see it as really important to get all workers, no matter how small the workplace?
Yes. Because every non-union house was a threat to the union. I mean, this was brought home to me so vividly that I experienced at that restaurant what went on there that was responsible for me going up to the union hall and joining the union. I realized that the workers had to stand together. And there had been a union agreement in that house, you see. But the union agreement, of course, wasn't sold with the business. The union officers at that time didn't follow up as they should have and see that the workers stood together. So that they were like sitting ducks to the new employer's tactics of fermenting discord and disagreements until they get to the point where they would quit. He didn't fire them. He worked to the point that they quit.
Do you think it was important that you came out of work in the restaurant in terms of being really familiar and also feeling really strongly identified with the conditions that workers faced in? Like, would it be different for you to be an organizer than someone who had never worked in the industry?
Well, I suppose I had gained something by the experience, and I left that field mainly because. Now, wait a minute, I'm not quite clear on that. I can't quite remember all the. It seemed there was Oh, well, like I had said, that after the year following, you know, remember we were expelled for a year, which meant we couldn't work in the we couldn't work in the restaurants, and not in the certainly not in the union restaurant during that year, because we weren't members of the union. And after the year, it was decided that Emily would reapply for readmission to the union. And of course, in the meantime, I had to work. And this is when I got into office work. That's another story.
Were you opposed to their unionization?
No.
Were you really angry about the whole process that happened?
Well, angry, yes. Here was work we had done, and it wasn't a question of, it wasn't a personal thing. It was, here was work done with and for the workers that was, we knew it would go by the board for a good many years, that the, that it would be, that the whole condition, set of conditions would be set back, which of course was what happened. And like they say, for many years there was nothing done in the restaurants. And that always did hurt me.
Were you working with the union when they tried to get certification for Hotel Vancouver?
That was just a bit before my time. And it was Barbara's husband who was business agent at that, Barbara's husband, Bill Stewart, mm-hmm. who was business agent at that time. Did she tell you something about that?
I don't think she did. I would like to hear the story. If you
know. I don't know it, only generally. I know they had organized in the hotel, and I believe that they called a strike. But I don't really know the. I suppose I did at the time know more of the particulars, but I don't remember them. All I know was that they were beaten down and out of the. Of the hotel, and that nothing was done in the hotel from that time until the time. That I was in the union, and we were beginning to get back into. We had the Georgia pretty well organized at that time. Now I don't know what the situation is now. I guess
yeah.
But and after we had some inns in the Hotel Vancouver, and we were working on it. But of course that too was the work we were doing. This was the thing that made me angry. And angry at the leadership of the union. I mean, from the mm-hmm. international, mm-hmm. That they sacrificed the conditions of hundreds of workers just to maintain their position. And partly it was getting back at us personally too, mm-hmm. which I didn't. Which, as far as I was concerned, had no place in human relationships, let alone trade union. That there was no doubt about why they took that position. That they were one way or another in the pay of the. The hands of the, I wonder if it was the mafia at that time. I don't know.
Getting back to the organizing drive, when you went out and organized, when the drive began, did it sort of have this effect where workers from different restaurants that were non-union would hear about it and come to the union?
That happened, yes, that happened. There was just, every way, they would come to us, we would go to them, we would get them together, and we would hold special meetings from time to time, and always there was the regular meeting.
What would the special meetings do?
Well, we'd get groups together who wanted to have discussion, talk it over, what it would mean, and so on.
Do you remember any specific restaurants or hotels that were particularly difficult or interesting or militant?
It was the union, This is an interesting point that just came to mind. There was quite a difference working on Granville Street and working down on Hastings. Like, so you see, Hastings then was sort of getting into the tenderloin of the city, and I worked first on Granville Street, and then I later worked down. Down, I never went all the way down, but yes, I did. I've forgotten. I worked at a place quite well down on Hastings, and I got the feeling that from fellow workers, I mean, some workers from other fields, like the it might be clerks, it might be anybody who came into the restaurants. After all, it was mostly workers, other workers you served in the restaurants, except perhaps in the evenings, and I got more respect, I felt, from the overall worker than I did from the white-collar worker. This was something that was very noticeable at that time.
Right.
So I would rather, myself, work down on Hastings than up on Granville. And that did reflect itself.
Oh.
Yes, that did reflect itself, because... well, I don't quite know why, but perhaps it's a matter of understanding or not understanding as far as the workers are concerned. Perhaps they would all see it that way. They have the feeling that they... So many funny things did happen down in that area. I remember one girl who worked, she worked in the Fish and Oyster Bar, and she was very often, and at that time, this was before I went north, and I was shop steward in the house, and she had an awful lot of trouble. She was often late coming in, or missing time altogether, and coming in, we weren't quite sure what it was, but I talked with her quite a bit. She never said very much, but now this is a little bit hazy in my mind, but I remember something happening, somebody coming into the restaurant, and they threatened her in some way. I'm not quite clear. I don't remember details. It's a bit hazy. But the whole thing was that obviously somebody had a hold on her for some reason. And the employer, or the manager, was a bit down on her for her irregularity and so on, and I took her, I stood up for her because I said, there's some very good reason for all this, I'm sure. I said, it isn't something she wants to do, particularly. There's somebody with a hold over her. And eventually, when she didn't come in one time, and we had an address, and I went down to see, and it was down in the lower part of the, you know, the old tenderloin there, and what was on the street below, somewhere in there, and one of those old awful buildings, and I had to go up steps, and she was just in a little room, and when I got there and knocked on the door, I realized that there was a man in the room with her, and she asked me to wait. And finally he came out. The thing was that she had come in from down from the country somewhere to the city, as many young girls did, and without any special training, the restaurants were the easiest places to get work. But in the meantime, one way or another, somebody had gotten a hold of her, and she was being used. This was a house of prostitution where she was living, and the man who owned it was using her and harassing her on the job, trying to get her fired from the job to get her completely under his control. Now, I don't remember the final outcome of that. That's a long time ago, and I don't remember. I remember another instance of a girl whom I knew quite well, and got into such a situation, and she committed suicide.
So did this kind of thing happen to waitresses?
Yes. I mean, it didn't happen every day, every month or all, but these things happened. If a girl wasn't enough on her toes to realize what was going on, she could... Well, they use drugs, they use liquor, they get a girl under their, a young girl under their control by any means they could, and then...
And was it partly because you'd run into waitresses who were receiving really low wages?
That would be part of it. I mean... Any money that they would be given in the first place would seem like a lot of money. I don't know. I never knew too much about what went on. I just sort of knew a little bit. I knew these things happened, and this was one instance, one case I came with which I came in contact.
Were many of the women who worked in the restaurant really young?
Yes. Yes, a lot of them were young. And then you had others who had worked in the restaurants for years and years and years.
Were they generally single or married?
They were both. Single. The young girls who came into the city looking for work would be single usually. They may marry later on, and they may still have a husband, or they may be on their own for one reason or another. Just any condition. They had to work to support themselves or their family, or help support their family.
Did general sort of attitude change towards women working during the war?
Yes. I mean, there was a time when, and this, I think this featured in the difference of the feeling, the attitude toward girls working up on Granville and girls working down below. I can remember when I first went into the work in the hotel. It was thought, well, the biddies who sat at home and chit chatted and criticized, etc., the young people. Anyone who went into a hotel, well, that was a very menial, a very low job, and they would. It was taken for granted that they would sink to that level. Now that goes back to 60 years, but I've seen that attitude change over the years, and the woman has it. I always found that I got the respect I demanded. And I think that, and as time, and many, many women in their own way had found the same thing, because there were some wonderful, wonderful people. I met a lot of very, very wonderful people.
Was unionization really important in terms of that self-respect?
Well, it helped in that a woman then didn't feel alone. She wasn't an individual target for any boss who wanted to cut her hours or her pay or whatever. And in some cases, the bosses had amorous
Was that a problem? I don't think it
really was a problem as such. They were there. They were there as business people, and mainly. And all they were concerned with was getting the most out of people for the least.
What were the central kinds of demands that went into the first union contract? You talked about being the best contract in Canada. What was in that contract?
Oh, I couldn't begin to give you details now. All I know that generally it was conditions of work. Hours, wages, and mainly maintaining the dignity of the individual with the right to belong to a union.
What about shifts?
Well, that's what I say, hours of work. I mean that shifts, as I recall, could only be we could only be split once and within a certain number of hours. Like it couldn't be spread over, say, 16 hours. And I've forgotten what the hours were, but it was a certain much less than that.
You also established a short work week? Is that
true? Well, that had been that had been established. Remember that in BC, you had the highest rate of organization at that time, and even in the non-union places, their conditions of work, their wages, and so on, were affected by the conditions won by unions in the union where they were organized, and that stood to, you know, that's, they wouldn't be able to get the workers otherwise. So that, and this was one of the things one of the arguments we used, I remember, was that the conditions that they had were there because of the organization around them, but could be bettered if they too were organized.
Did the employers react against the union draws in a specific way? Was there, like, blackmail?
Well, I remember we had a few stormy meetings. We would meet with the. There were a group of restaurant owners who. I don't know whether they had an organization as such or whether they got together, but a group of them sort of headed the. Negotiations, and they tried to make a stand against us on this new agreement. We didn't get what we asked for originally, all together. But there was a point below which we wouldn't go, and we had, in other words, we had bargaining. We did bargaining, and even when it was finally agreed on, there were a few standouts who didn't want to sign it. But, as I say, fortunately, the major houses had signed the union before.
Did you generally establish, like, a master contract?
Oh, yes, this was a master contract.
So all places had signed.
Right, right. Yes, that was a very important point. I'm glad you brought that up. It was a master agreement.
And was that like an attempt to try and make the conditions uniform?
Yes, yes.
Did you have support in the organizing campaign from other labor bodies?
Oh, yes.
What kind of support did you get?
Well, it was a sort of a tacit support, you know. I mean, they were behind us in the fact they knew we were organizing. And if we had had to have a strike, they'd honor a picket line, et cetera, et cetera. But we threatened strike getting this agreement. In fact, we almost had to go on strike. But finally, one of the bosses capitulated. And we worked on that angle, too. we were going to pull the workers out of his house. We knew which one to. You got to know these things.
When you were involved in the union, were there any strikes or job
actions? Not in our. Never quite came to anything like that. We had to negotiate. We had to take up grievances at time to time and this sort of thing, you know. And,
what kind of grievances were common? Were there any that came up again?
I can't recall anything specific at the moment in this regard. I guess we didn't have too much trouble, but...
What about things like uniforms, selling uniforms, and...
We had... this was another thing. If uniforms were required, they had to be supplied and laundered.
And that was something new people...
Yes, that was established in the master agreement. And that was it. I can remember, but years back, having to buy my own uniforms and having to launder them. And oh, brother!
And do you know what the differences were in the conditions in the union and the non-union houses?
Well, it would be wages. Wages wouldn't be as high in the non-union. The hours wouldn't be as regular. Generally, the conditions would be not as good. There'd be no regulation, and a person could be fired at the whim of the employer, and nobody to take up their cause. This was a very important factor in the.
Were there struggles going on then that the union supported that were like beyond just the industry, for example, the fight for unemployment insurance or work against fascism and that kind of thing? Were there policies adopted on those kinds of things?
Well, we were, of course, members of the Trades and Labor Council, and there were delegates from every union who made up the Trades and Labor Council. I could give you a little sidelight into a little incident that happened. I was a member of the Trades and Labor Council, and this was for legislation. How was it? Union legislation of some sort to do with the labor board, and I'm not quite clear, no, but anyway, we would have to go. We had discussed this and won our points in the Trades and Labor Council itself, different progressive peoples from all over, from different unions, to get certain legislation and to, Bill 33, I'm quite sure that was the number, which was anti-labor, was proposed by the government, and we were through the Trades and Labor Council, were fighting against it. And there was a committee of 10, I believe it was 10, elected from the Trades and Labor Council to go over to Victoria, meet with the cabinet, et cetera, and bring pressure and what have you, against this Bill 33. And I don't remember the details of it now, except I know it was violently anti-labor, and maybe shouldn't use the word violent, but anyway, we went over on the boat, on the midnight boat. I don't think there were 10 of us. Whatever the number was, I don't know. One of the members who was the member of the Fishermen's Union was over there on other business. And he was in a bad car accident that evening of the night we went over on the boat. I sometimes had reservations as to how that accident happened, but it's just one of those things. And one of the leaders, one of the officers in the Trades and Labor Council was a member on this committee, and tried to get us, draw us all together in a group to all to agree on certain things. None of us, to this point, had seen the copy of the, we knew generally what it was, but nobody had received a copy, at least none of the members. I don't know whether any of the executive had or not, but we wouldn't go along with making a blanket agreement or anything like that. We wanted to see, we wanted to discuss. We insisted on having a meeting over there after, at which we could see the content of this bill. And the chap who had been in this car accident was to have led the group within the delegation, spearhead the real opposition to this bill. And of course, when he was out of commission like that, at the meeting that morning, I just jumped in and took the leadership. And, well, so it happened. And I can't remember just how everything went, although I know that night there was a dance or something at the, it was put on by the Victoria Labor Group, and in the old, I don't know what the building's there now, and I can't remember what it is, an old building that had been there for years and years and years. We had a very pleasant evening.